Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks. It's, as always, been about a month since our last episode. We really should become more consistent at these things. I'm joined this week by Dan.
Whoa.
And Scott.
Hi.
So, I finally have an excuse to do an episode I've been wanting to do for quite some time.
12 years, in fact.
12 long, grueling years.
I've wanted to do this since the Fire Nation attacked.
Me too.
But, no. We've done Bond episodes in the past, and it was kind of redundant to revisit James Bond as a entity, even though there's more to talk about. I think we did the last one before the release of Skyfall, and, you know, we've had Skyfall 50th anniversary and some games. But instead of just focusing on Bond, I figured we'd focus on, I don't necessarily know if it's a genre, but I consider it one, the whole kind of spy thriller action genre. It's something that's, you know, it's very, you know, on my head because Spectre comes out this week. But it's actually been a very good year for spy movies in general.
There was a movie called Spy.
Yeah, we had a movie called Spy. We had Kingsman, that came out. We had what was the one with Jesse Eisenberg?
American Hustle.
No, that was not American Hustle.
Spy Kids.
No, it was like, crap. There was that one.
The Social Network. Wasn't there spies in that?
I think that's a different type of spy. Oh, American Ultra.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, probably. I saw the box office receipts. I assume either most people heard of it and didn't care, or they didn't hear about it at all.
Hmm.
But, yes, and we had Mission Impossible 5 this year. So it's actually been a pretty good year if you're into spy movies, which I am. I've seen most of these films, Saints, the Jesse Eisenberg, American Ultra. Though I wanted to, and I will at some point this year. So I figured, you know, we'll take an opportunity to talk about stuff like that, to talk about stuff like Archer, James Bond. You know, we have a ton of we've had a ton of shows like Chuck and Covert Affairs that have kind of popped up over the years. I guess going way. Oh, the other one that came out this year, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about, but I didn't see it, so I don't know if Jesse Eisenberg was in it.
No. So the other half of the equation is in that. Superman's in that one. Lex Luthor's in the other one. But yes, all great stuff. So, I mean, this can honestly just be me talking for an hour, and you two just nodding and agreeing. But I actually want to open it up for you two to talk first. So, Dan already mentioned he hasn't seen most of these, but which ones have you seen? Or what kind of spy?
That's true. I didn't really explicitly mean to say that, but I haven't. I haven't seen any of them, actually. No, I haven't seen any of those ones you listed off, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Not even Kingsman?
I've wanted to. I haven't been able to. Accessibility to it.
Well, I can give you my... I think I still have a digital code for it. I think. After
free movies!
Yeah, free legal movies.
Free legal, well, yes, for some people, I had to pay for it. actually, fun fact, it's actually one of those movies I really, really enjoy, and I will say this much, it's still my favorite movie of the year, which I always hate telling people because it just builds this expectation when you watch it now.
Yeah.
But,
and Star Wars hasn't even come out yet, come on.
Well, I'm not going to touch on Star Wars. We'll get to that when we talk about Star Wars. I'm not a huge fan.
Wow.
Whoa.
Someone's going to get in trouble with me and the cops and the rest of the world, too.
But actually, it was about a year ago I saw Kingsman for the first time at an advanced screening. And it was so good that the opportunity came up again for me to see it before it came out, like 2 months later. So Kingsman is one of the few movies I've seen multiple times in the theater. And to my knowledge, it is the only movie I've seen in the theater multiple times without paying for it.
And before it came out, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember going to it. I went, like I said, about a year ago, about November. Yeah, around the second week of November last year. And we went to like one of the early screenings, and the director was there, Matthew Vaughn. And he gave like a brief speech beforehand, and he's like, I'm just presenting this movie for you, and I hope you enjoy it, because some people at Fox think it might be too British for us. So it was just kind of this funny, like, you know, Americans can't understand other cultures type dig. But yeah, really great movie, really fun. It's kind of a throwback to the Roger Moore era James Bond films. Which is, ironically enough, I guess easy enough, the most parodied era of Bond films, because that's also kind of what Austin Powers is based around.
And it's what everyone thinks of when they think of James Bond, even still, the misogynistic James Bond.
Yeah, but you could also do Sean Connery, and some of it does mimic Sean Connery, like Dr. Evil is based off of, you know, Blofeld from the Connery era, but... When people, you know, I think because of that, and people, when people think of Roger Moore, James Bond, they think of the goofy, campy, over-the-topness of the Bond franchise, which he is most known for.
And Pierce Brosnan, but that's what I think of when it comes to that stuff.
But. Yeah, but even Pierce Brosnan isn't as bad, though his movie, you know, like, The Invisible Car is up there with, like, Roger
Moore.
Cheesy
one-liners are up there, too.
Well, the cheesy one-liners are what makes Bond Bond.
Yeah, but, like, they were super cheese. Like, they have some suave to them, normally, or at least they're supposed to. The cheesiness was, like, too real in Pierce Brosnan's era.
Yeah, it's a balance, because, and we'll find out when we see Spectre, which I have not been able to see early, which I'm very disappointed by, but it's one of the things with the Craig era is that he isn't much for making one-liners. Like, he has them, but they tend to come off more snarky and angry than charming and cheesy.
I like him the best, actually. I don't like the over-the-top cheese. There should be some sophistication to Bond, and I think Daniel Craig portrays that in the way he delivers the one-liners.
I think there's some sophistication to it, but I also do kind of, like, I feel like there isn't a charm to it, and, you know, that's a very, it's a very nebulous term, you know, charm is to the beholder, but yeah, like, Daniel Craig has amazing lines, and there are some great moments in his movies, but he's so rough that you don't have the same cheekiness you get with a lot of the other Bonds.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, any thoughts on that, since we seem to be leaving you out here?
Well, I'll be honest about my extremely limited knowledge of the Bond series. Of all the spy stories that you have listed as possible topics for today's episode, Bond was one of the ones that I was hoping I wouldn't be asked about.
I mean, not to pass judgment, but I mean, Bond is the franchise that sets the standard.
I know, mean, and it's really bad because he's like the spy.
Such a beautiful man.
No, he's not like the spy. He is the spy. I mean, the franchise is 53 years old. There are 24 movies.
I know.
I mean, you take most of these franchises, combine several of them, and there's not as many as Bond. There aren't as many. If you combine Mission Impossible, the Bourne series, and all these other... Star Wars. But Star Wars isn't a spy franchise.
Yeah,
I'll get to Star Wars in a few weeks.
Even if you combined it with all 7 or even 9 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, because Bond is the spy franchise. Like I said, Kingsman is a throwback to Roger Moore, James Bond, and Austin Powers is a throwback to that. Archer's kind of a throwback. It's not necessarily Roger Moore, but it's the idea of that super spy 80s man. But the funny thing is, even though Bond is the benchmark, it's also... tends to be the copycat, because, as you know, people love the Daniel Craig Bonds, and I do too, but they're very heavily influenced by the Bourne series.
Are they? Jeremy Renner
in
them?
more so in how rough and tumble they are, and how, you know, like, Bourne doesn't have one-liners. It's and how they mostly stay in Europe nowadays, and not necessarily come to the States anymore. And then you go back, and I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Bond franchise. I've said it before; it's my favorite film franchise. But watching the Bond franchise in chronological order, or even just watching them randomly, it's like a history of movies, because you can kind of tell what was popular at this time. Like Moonraker, you can clearly tell, like, okay, Star Wars came out. How can we ape off of Star Wars? The Living Daylights came out around Indiana Jones, and you can see that. Living That Die came out the peak of the Brexapolitan movement in movies, with Shaft and stuff. And you look at it, and you can kind of see the little piecemeals of what was popular in the day and how it affected the Bond franchise. But at the same time, because Bond is, like, the franchise, so many of these movies are influenced. So it's like one of those sick feedbacks where Bond changes based on what's popular. And other things want to go back to what made Bond fun. So Bond goes, and it just goes on and on and on.
Nobody wins except the consumer.
Except for Bond, James Bond.
Boom.
That's a quote from the movie, Scott, if you haven't
seen
it.
Oh, dang.
I actually recently watched Casino Royale with Daniel Craig, so he said that...
Watch it with, like, Daniel Craig? Lucky.
Yeah, yeah, he said there are at the end.
Yeah, the very end. That was his. I don't want to harp on Bond too much. It is kind of funny that Daniel Craig has kept on trying to earn his Bond for 3 movies now, because, like, every movie ends with him becoming Bond at the end. And it's like, okay, next movie. Like, Casino Royale, at the very end, is, my name's Bond, James Bond, in the music phase. And you think that's when he earns it. And then they do the same thing at the end of Quantum of Solace. And then you think he owns it then. And then they do the same thing at the end of Skyfall.
It is. I think we touched upon this in a previous podcast, but I always found it weird how Casino Royale is supposed to be a reboot, and I get that. But they went, like, true reboot, like, oh, this is Bond's, like, first mission as a 00 agent. So then Quantum of Solace, being a direct sequel, is obviously, like, his second mission. And then Skyfall is all of a sudden, like, he's old?
Yeah, it's...
A lot of time passed, like, 6 months or so.
It's like... It's just weird. Daniel Craig will apparently have portrayed the first Bond mission and also potentially the last one, depending on how the Spectre goes.
It's possible.
He's only 4 movies, too. He's not even the most decorated Bond actor.
Though he is, I think he's on track to have one of the longest tenure, which is also kind of funny.
Yeah, 4 of the longest tenure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at it, when they did the Sean Connery era, Connery was Bond for less than 10 years, and he churned out, like, 6 movies with the dude.
Yeah, that was the era back then. Everything was movie.
Yeah. Craig has been Bond for 9 years, and they've done 4 movies. Huh?
Yeah, and it's been a long 9 years. Let me tell you what, I've been waiting for Spectre for, it seems like, 9 whole years.
9 whole years. Some people have been waiting for this day since the 70s, when they stopped using Spectre because it had awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's another discussion for another day.
Been waiting that long in comparison.
Yeah, let's move on from Bond, so this isn't the Spectre cast for an hour. So
Inspector Gadget's next. It's my favorite agent.
Spectre Gadget.
Oh, God, that music.
I'm going to have Scott pick the next one we talk about. Anyone you want to talk about.
Oh, gosh. Let's take a look at the list.
Making this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there's always Jason Bourne. The Bourne series for that. Let's see.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah, let's go with Bourne.
Let's go with Bourne, especially being that, and this is kind of true to Bond series, too. I enjoy the movie so much, I've actually read the books. And you know how people always complain about, like, when their favorite book gets adapted and they change this and they change that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the Bourne books are pretty much nothing like the movie outside of the first half of, like, the first one. Because in the books, the Bourne identity is an actual identity. It's not It's an identity that different spies take on, and he's the most recent.
So it's like James Bond.
I am not entertaining that theory. I'm not a fan of that. But yes, and like spoilers, I guess. But you know how Marie dies at the start of the second.
Oh movie? My God!
Spoiler. Yeah, she's a consistent force throughout the books. They're married. They have kids. He has an arch nemesis in the book called the Jackal.
That sounds way cool.
I mean, I love the movie, but the books and the movies are pretty much just rated in name only.
That's pretty awesome. The Jackal? I want my villain's name to be the Jackal. That sounds so cool.
It's a pretty cool name for a villain.
It's so simple, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, the movies are fun in the sense that they... I think there's something to be said about that sense of discovery, because a lot of these spies, we kind of meet them when they're badasses, and Jason Bourne is a badass when we meet him, but he doesn't know it. So, as like the first movie goes on, we're just kind of discovering everything he can do.
Right.
Can he chew with his eyes closed? We'll find out. Can he chew gum and run at the same time? We'll find out at the same time.
But yeah, no, it's a very fascinating dynamic, I think, just having this one character who you don't know what he's in there for or what's happening to him, and over the course of, and not just the first movie though, by the end of the third movie, I'm just kind of like, okay, we get it, the dude has amnesia. At some point, somebody needs to help him.
Someone just help the man. He's been running this whole time.
Right, the thing that really was a stretch for me, and this is, you know, one of those nerdy complaints, is the fact that Nikki and him used to have a relationship and she didn't mention him for the first two movies.
I've only seen the third Bourne movie, and it was, I don't even know why. So I'm not going to comment on this really that much.
We really need to find people who've seen all these movies.
Actually, no, I saw the Bourne Legacy. That was kind of cool.
That doesn't count.
That was kind of cool, though. Jeremy Renner!
Okay, I don't have a problem with the Bourne Legacy. I have a problem with how it doesn't end.
Yes, I agree. Wait, let's talk about...
You mean
about
it's still going on?
Like, I think they get on a boat.
The end scene, when it happened, they were, like, doing that motorcycle chase, and I was like, oh, yeah. And in any other movie, that would have been, like, a mid-movie chase scene. I didn't realize it was the final climactic scene. I was so blindsided. It was like, he turns around in that weird, like port area, and he like turns around and he's like, just escaped him, and he's like, yeah, and he gets on the boat and it's like the credits roll, and I was like, wait, what? I was waiting for the bad guy to come out.
Yeah, it was, because you know like how people kind of build stuff up, like everybody kept on saying like, oh, it doesn't end, it doesn't. I'm like, okay, I'm assuming that, you know, like how some movies have like a non-end and like a two-week, like this is like, wait, this is it? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm missing a scene here.
It was so disappointing. It really felt like it was missing an entire like third of the movie. That really felt like it should have been like the second act scene.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea was they were introducing a newborn and they were going to, you know, do a franchise around him. And then it's like, oh yeah, the movie didn't do so well, so we're just gonna bring back Matt Damon.
It works.
But, you know, one thing I will say about Jeremy Renner, which is, this is a direct quote from a review on his performance. Jeremy Renner is magnetic. I don't know what it means. I just liked it a lot. Me and my friend joke about it a lot.
I think it means that when he touches iron, it sticks to him.
Oh, my God.
That's the other.
He's literally magnetic.
Yeah, he's literally magnetic. Not
that's
like
crazy. I hope that's what it means, and I hope we'll find out in the Bourne magnetic sea.
Magnets.
How do they even work?
Right.
I bet no one actually knows. That's probably what the Bourne series was about. I don't know. I've only seen two movies.
You should watch them. You should watch them. You should watch more of them.
Are the first ones kind of dated? You know how spy movies can sometimes be dated in their action scenes?
No. No, I don't think so. I actually rewatched them over the summer.
Oh, yeah.
I think they held up really well.
That was like my fear in like revisiting them. I might, but I don't. I also
think one of the good things about the Bourne franchise is how, well, retroactively how tightly knit they are. Like, I won't spoil it for you, but you sort of bought Bourne Legacy, and that takes place kind of concurrently with Bourne Automata.
Yeah.
Like they'll mention or show scenes from that movie.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And it's similar with Bourne Supremacy and the Bourne Ultimatum. Bourne Identity kind of stands alone in front of everything, but everything else is kind of interconnected.
Got it.
So let's move over to a realm that you two are hopefully more familiar with.
Back to James Bond.
Video games have actually had a pretty decent history of spies.
Yes,
you're wrong.
I think the most famous one is the one that just came out this past year.
Yeah, you didn't mention that on the list.
Huh?
You didn't mention that on your list.
I'm not a huge fan of that either.
Me neither, so you were wrong already. We don't know that much about this one either.
I know it's a batshit insane franchise. But yes, you're talking about Metal Gear Solid. And
oh my god, I didn't even think you were talking about that. I haven't played that either, but
Metal Gear.
I thought you were talking about Hitman, because that movie came out and nobody cared.
I care.
Okay, fine. So one person cares about it.
Well, I care because it's another movie to add to my list to get drunk to sometime soon. I actually watched the first Hitman movie this summer.
Oh, that's
and boring. You see, it's not... these are so full of tangents. I classify movies in my head really three different ways.
Good, bad,
even
ugly.
Well, kind of. Good, bad, and bland.
To me,
I don't hate bad movies necessarily. Like, I understand they're bad and they're awful, but usually if you're so bad, you're somewhat memorable. Bland movies just piss me off because it's an utter waste of time. Yeah. I'm not being entertained at how good you are. I'm not being entertained at how bad you are.
It's like,
you're gonna come home with nothing to talk about, basically.
It's like the difference between the first two Fantastic Four movies and the 2015 reboot. It's like, yeah, the first two aren't great movies, but at least they're not the new one.
Yeah. So I saw Hitman, and it has... Is it Timothy Oliphant?
Has an elephant in it?
Yeah, it has an elephant in it. And it's weird, because they did the same thing with this movie. I don't want to be one of those people that the only person who should pay him is a bald dude, but they got guys who look awful bald for the role.
The guy in the new movie looks like a baby.
So, like, you would think that would be the first thing you test your actor for, is like, do you look good bald? Because you're going to have to be that for this movie. And if the answer is no, move on. But yeah, I honestly could not tell you what that movie is about, and I only saw it like 2 months
ago.
It's about a hitman.
That's all I can tell you about. He's got a barcode on the back of his neck, and he's bald, so that's a really good disguise.
Though the games are fun, though they do seem to, and it's weird because I've had this discussion because there's a thin line between stealth and like horror. Like you have horror games where like you're defenseless and you need to sneak around, but those aren't necessarily spies. But you can also have stuff like that. Like I mentioned Metal Gear, a lot of Metal Gear is not being detected, but you have the means to defend yourself if you are. And you have a super batshit insane franchise story to back you up.
Super that insane.
I'm not going to say involves time travel, but it does involve multiple time periods and clones.
Time travel would make it actually make more sense, I think. Because then you could just be like, well, time travel. I'm like, well, that's kind of an explanation. Versus what it gives us.
I don't even know. I've never played a single Metal Gear game, and you could tell me anything about the series, and I would believe it. Like, literally anything.
Well, see, the thing is, if you... Honestly speaking, I think telling you what the franchise is about would probably be just as believable. I've only played, like, the first two, and even then, like, I know some of what happened in the other ones, and, yeah, it's... Like, there's a clone and some dude who's cloned up with somebody's arm, and there's giant robots in the U.S. government, and there's, like, a shadow organization... There's a lot of insane stuff. It's like Kingdom Hearts of the spy
job. Oh, God, it's 10 times worse than Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts is insufferable.
But it meant this too much because apparently none of us are huge.
Actually, I am a pretty big Metal Gear fan.
I think I would be a Metal Gear fan, too. They do cool things. They have cool character designs. I just don't get what's going on.
And to me, the thing with that is, I think the only Metal Gear game I played and finished and loved was Metal Gear Solid the Twin Snakes. And most Metal Gear fans hate that game. But to me, I think that embraces what the franchise is. It's over-the-top nonsense. And the game's like, yeah, we're going to run with that. The scene, like, one of my personal favorite scenes, which I know a lot of diehard Metal Gear fans hate, is there's a scene when he jump-kicks a rocket and shoots a gun off of it.
Are you thinking of Metal Gear Rising? Because that sounds like something more out of Metal Gear Rising.
No, I'm assuming it's out of... No, this is out of Twin Snakes. And he runs up a rocket, jump back kicks off of it, and shoots a Hayakawa.
Are you thinking of something that happened in the most recent Call of Duty trailer? I'm pretty sure that happened there, too.
But, yes, I understand why Die Hard hated, but I'm like, this is what I want, because the story is nonsense, and trying to build it up as this big philosophical game franchise where you're questioning the meaning of life and war and all this other nonsense, it's like, no, it's goofy. Like, if this is a movie, this would be like a B-action movie with Steven Seagal.
Well, you see, I thought that I had a pretty firm grasp on what was going on in the series after I played Metal Gear Solid 1 and sort of watched my friend play Metal Gear Solid 4, and I was like, okay, I think I know what goes on. And then I played Metal Gear Solid 2, and yeah, I don't know what went on in that game. To this day, I don't know.
I just remember being around when Kojima pulled off like the biggest troll of all time, when the entire marketing around the game was built around Solid Snake, who you play for in one mission and you switch to a different main character for the rest. And then not only do you switch to another main character, but it's one who's kind of the polar opposite of what you came to expect from Solid Snake. He's a wuss. And there's, like, one part of the game where you end up having to play with him naked?
That sounds like...
Yeah, that... It's not an enjoyable part of the game.
That, and, like, I think he does, like, one-handed cartwheels so he can cover his junk. It's really, really, yeah.
I want to say a brief... This is probably the last thing that I haven't already said about Metal Gear. I respect Kojima as, like, a developer. He sounds like a really good guy, and he's... Got some weird ideas, but, you know, I gotta give him credit for the weird ideas, right? Some of them hit, some of them don't. I don't care. He's like, we need more people like him. Anyway, what I'm gonna say about Metal Gear is I have tried countless times to understand the series. I really do. Sometimes I'm like, you know what, Metal Gear sounds interesting. I'm gonna try and understand it this time. And I don't. So Kojima is a good guy. Respect him a lot. Metal Gear will always evade me. I'm pretty sure even if I was to play 1 through 5, I'm pretty sure it's going to evade me.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I have played 1 through 5 and Peace Walker. I didn't play Portable Ops. But, yeah, I will tell you that there is a lot that still confuses me. And I played them all. Well, not quite 5 to completion, but I know what happens. And knowing what happens doesn't mean you know what happens. So...
Dun.
It's weird. It's weird how the game is a prequel that still leaves more questions than answers.
Ah, so Prometheus.
Exactly.
Okay, just kind of sticking to video games real quick. Kind of way on the nose, but The Spy from Team Fortress 2.
He's a spy movie. I saw that in theaters.
He's a spy movie?
Yeah, we're talking about spy movies, right?
No, we're talking about
yeah,
The Spy.
Yeah, he's a spy movie.
He's what?
The Spy. Wasn't he in
that? Sounds like the plot to Metal Gear. Oh, my God.
Team Fortress 2?
He's in a movie?
Yeah, Team Fortress 2.
That's not
a
movie.
Isn't Gabe in it? Anyway.
But yeah.
I don't play as a spy. I don't even have any comments on this. I don't like spies. They're confusing to play as.
Are they? I remember I used to know people who hated spies because the spy's greatest asset is that it can disguise itself as a member of the other team.
And as your team.
And
as your team, if you really want to.
Yeah, that was always redundant, though. I mean, the only way that works is if, like, it disguises itself as like a heavy or something to scare off people from advancing. But then it doesn't have the weapon, so eventually you'll find
dun, dun,
out.
Dun.
But no, yeah, like, it was always like, you'd always like, why is there like five people on a four-man team? And then it just became everybody just trying, because the only way to rule you out a spy is to either kill it or to have a pyro on your
pretty
team.
Pretty much. Have one of those things that like lets you see it or do stuff to whatever. I don't know.
Oh. But that I mean that came later on. In
yeah,
the
I don't.
Game.
I don't play TF2 that often, so I can't comment.
But really, what made him and almost all the characters in Team Fortress 2, well, all the vignettes that they did, that meet the spy, meet the engineer videos, because yeah, he's the one who stepped with the scout's mutter.
Dun dun dun.
Anybody remember those vignettes?
Yeah, I do. They're all pretty good.
Yeah, they were fun. See, now, if Valve made a movie, I would go see it. They have a great sense of humor, and it really started our animation style.
That's true, as far as we know, at least.
But, I mean, it takes them forever to make a video game. I can't imagine how it would take them to make a CG.
They're probably
movie.
Planning to release it in 2030, but it'll never release until 2070.
Or they'll plan a trilogy and release the first two parts and the third one never comes
out. No, they're just waiting for Half-Life 3 to come out. Then they're going to start pushing out tons of projects.
Everything. So much content. The number 3 will be everywhere for years.
3-3-3.
The year
33-33. 33-33. Advance. And just real quick, one final one from gaming for me. And I know most people probably haven't played this game, but I absolutely love it, and I will always defend it to the end of the days.
Alpha
is,
Protocol.
Michael Thornton. Yes.
Alpha Protocol, huh?
Alpha Protocol. It is the game I always say is a better Mass Effect
that's
than Mass Effect.
True.
And
that's
that rubs,
not even close to true.
It's 110%
true. That's not, let's fight right now.
We are fighting right now. In the sense that I think I meant more in the sense of what Mass Effect tries to do with the choice system, and that I like that Alpha Protocol gives you three choices, and I like that the choices aren't necessarily black and white. It's not, you know, Mass Effect is fit into Paragon and Renegade, good or bad, you know, good or evil, whatever, where Alpha Protocol is fit into three. It's essentially what I call the three J's. It's the Jack Bauer, the James Bond, and the Jason Bourne. You kind of have one who's suave, you kind of have one who's aggressive, and you kind of have one who's just assertive. And what happens in this game, and what I really like, is that there's no one right path. It depends on the character you're dealing with. Like, some characters respond better to you being aggressive to them, because that's what they would expect in a man. Some want you to be suave, some want you to be assertive, and it may change from scene to scene because of the situation, and I feel like that's something Mass Effect doesn't do well, where Mass Effect is like, you're either going to be good or you're going to be evil in this scene.
That's because there's no in-between. You're either good or evil in real life, and that's pretty much how it works.
Everybody, that's exactly what works in real life. The other thing I prefer about Alpha Protocol is that the game does a good job of telling you how your decisions actually matter later on in the game. Even if it's something as simple as the mission select screen, where it's like, because you saved so-and-so, or because you rescued so-and-so, they're going to support you at some point during this mission. Or so-and-so, like, there's one guy, there's like a drug dealer or something, that you can either kill or spare during the course of the game. And if you spare him during a mission, like during a big shootout in a train station, he'll come by and he'll just shoot up
the
enemy.
Some drugs too.
And at the end of the yeah, sure. And at the end of the mission, it's like, because you saved him in such and such a country, you know, he decides to own your hand. I'm like, that's nice, because it's directly telling me how my decisions affected what happened in the game and telling me what wouldn't have happened if I didn't do this.
That's like good and all, and I understand why that's a good thing to have, but at the same time, I think subtlety is important in some cases, and I think Mass Effect does those okay.
Well, I mean, and again, I could be wrong, and actually, we'll save that, we'll curtain this for another time, because this isn't the Mass Effect.
Oh, it could be, though. Let's make it.
It could be, but I don't want to. We can save that for another time. okay. I mentioned my three J's. We've talked Bond. Let's talk Bauer. Though technically, I guess he's not really a spy in the traditional sense. He's a government agent who just happens to be a super agent.
Dun, dun, dun.
But he does a lot of the same things that spies do. He infiltrates organizations, we learn about that, shoots guns, kills people, tortures them, is above
the law.
Sometimes
he uses that gun to shoot and torture them, too.
Yeah, or a towel.
So, at least. I don't know. I've never watched a single... I don't know the first thing about 24 other than it takes place in a day. How many seasons are there, then? Is it each a day?
There, it's 8.5 seasons.
Each season's a day?
Except for the 9th season, which
right,
is 12 hours. Well, it's actually a full day, but it's like they do 11.5 hours and then they skip ahead 12
time?
Hours. And bend time. But yes, each season's a single day and each episode's a single hour.
That's a cool concept.
Day.
I don't have any interest in 24. Some of my friends are really big into it. You might even be one
right
of
here.
Them, Earl.
I am huge into 24. 24 is one of my
favorite
shows.
I don't like care that much. Nothing about it interests me at all.
I understand. I think, I guess you'd have to go back a decade. It was groundbreaking TV
was
at the time. Because, I mean, we see it so much now, but you didn't get heavy serialized shows too often because, you know, like, nowadays we're so spoiled. You have DVR, you have Hulu, you have Netflix, you have DVDs. You can catch up on a show at any time.
How can you tell that Earl is old when he says we're spoiled for having all these amenities? JK.
Yeah.
Just had to make a joke.
I remember back in my day in the
Stone Age. Oh, Papa Earl, tell us. I'll sit on your lap. Tell us the story of the old days.
If you missed a TV show, you missed a TV show until it reran, or it went to syndication years later, and I haven't seen this one yet, let me sit down and watch it. Nowadays, I miss a TV show, like I'm missing Empire right now. I'll watch Empire before the end of tomorrow, because it'll be up on Fox.com, it'll be up on Hulu, it'll be up on demand. There's really no way to miss a show, so getting serialized TV shows, it's kind of what we expect now. Like, if you go back to, like, a lot of dramas, I mean, like, the big dramas that hold over, like, Going On and stuff like that were kind of very procedural. Even stuff like MASH, even though it had continuing plot, a lot of it was still, you'd get bits and pieces throughout the season. It wasn't like every episode mattered. And then what really kind of shifted the momentum was stuff like 24 and Lost all hitting at the same time, where it's like, we can build up this mythology, we can get people invested, and you know, the internet helped with that, because then you'd had all these fans sharing theories about these shows and these episodes together, and Of course, certain ones didn't pay off. I'm not looking at you, Ross, but it's kind of what people like now. It's like they like that idea of a long gestating plotline that eventually pays off into something miraculous.
That's what I watch the Food Network for, I'll be honest.
But yes, 24 is a good show worth checking out. And Jack is a super spy on TV. Okay, let's see if you've seen this spy show. Have you seen Chuck?
I know. There's probably a character named Chuck in the show. Am I right so far?
Yeah, oh my gosh, you folks are awful. Yes, Chuck stars Zachary Levi, and Ivana stars
Strahovski, I think. The one who plays a person from Miranda from Mass Effect. The likeness of her, at least.
Yes. And it's sad.
I mean, what else has she done
her.
Other than Chuck and that? I'm pretty sure those are the only two things she's done that are noteworthy.
I'm sure she's done other stuff. I know she's been on TV shows. I think she's on. She was on 24.
Wow. Okay.
Which she
so
didn't
we're just bash on Dan now.
Yes, you are. She was in I, Frankenstein. Oh, she was on
Which
Dexter. I don't know. I think the last season. Hannah McKay.
Oh, yeah. I know who she is.
Or you can just say Miranda.
Well, apparently
from
when I say that, I get judged, so I'm not going to say that.
Because I hang out with
now all the
nerds.
Pieces are falling into place. She totally does look like Miranda from Mass Effect.
Oh no! I mean, it's based off of her likeness. I think Miranda has.
I don't
more
think.
Control.
Yeah.
I don't think she voices Miranda though. I'm not sure. I can't. Remember.
I thought she did. Wait. I don't know. No, she voices Miranda. But yes, I recommend watching Chuck. Chuck was one of my favorite
shows.
Until
24 happened.
No, 24 is older than Chuck. Chuck does kind of, it does kind of go down in quality.
I have heard that
season
actually. One of my friends got really big into Chuck a couple months to like about a year ago. It didn't make me want to watch it anymore. I don't know anything about it, so like I don't have any inclination to go watch it. That's all.
Okay, well, just as a brief elevator pitch, it's about a average Joe who becomes a super spy because he gets a computer flashed into his brain. And then over the course of the series, he actually trains to become an actual spy with the help of two actual spies who were sent to be his handlers. So that's the basic gist of it. It's actually pretty funny. I wonder. Like you mentioned before with Bourne, I wonder how much of it is kind of dated. Not necessarily in its action and stuff, but a lot of it was very pop culture-y. Like they worked in a Buy More, which was like we still have Best Buys, but you know, it was kind of the Best Buy of, you know, it has the,
right.
They work in a Nerd Herd, stuff like that. Big into Subways. There's episodes dealing with like Call of Duty when it was first coming. Well, not when it was first coming out.
Or Call
out,
of Duty
is
now,
big.
Probably in the dumps.
Well, I mean, like, it's stuff that's like still popular, but it does seem kind of dated
like
if you're talking about like Modern Warfare and not like Black Ops 3 or whatever.
I feel you.
I feel you. Pure from the Himalayas. I'm assuming since you folks haven't seen 24 and you haven't seen Chuck, that you haven't seen Covert of Fear.
No.
So
I saw
skip over
the
that.
First season, or like half of it, but then I forgot like what channel it was on, so.
USA.
Yeah. I don't know, like.
Okay.
I really like spy thrillers when I'm watching them. It's just, it's like, hey, do you want to watch this spy thriller or Star Wars again? And I'm always going to pick Star Wars again.
I'm there.
I don't know what to chew to in this Star Wars crap.
Oh, yeah. I could never see why Star Wars is at all popular.
I don't. I mean,
how
I don't
old are you? Apparently not that old. But... At least that's good.
I'm sorry if I offended you with my statement, Earl. I am.
I'm not. Take it on the chin.
Well, we will get to that when we have our Star Wars episode, which I will be far, far away from.
I get it.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant, but that worked out for you, I guess.
Yeah, just how much of a Star Wars fan are you with references like that? Come on.
I've seen the movies. I mean, it's very hard
you
not
say
to
that,
see
but
a movie.
I know plenty of people who haven't, apparently, and...
Yeah, I met somebody today who has only seen Empire Strikes Back.
If you're only going to see one, at least that. I mean,
I mean that's the best one to see. But it's really weird because it's the second one of a trilogy.
I mean, they got something right at least.
But
yeah, it is
still so weird.
It's the best one.
They did. Props on that, but at the same time, they probably missed so much.
Yes, they did. They
well,
missed
mean,
five
other
movies.
Than that.
But, yes, where were we? We weren't talking about Star Wars.
I mean, we can
about,
Star Wars sucks.
Yeah, you're talking about how... Oh, Covert Affairs.
Oh, we're not talking about Covert Affairs. I believe this is one you folks have seen. Fingers crossed. Archer.
Yes, the first 5 seasons.
Again, you're wrong, Earl. I thwarted you yet again. I don't like
Archer. How can you not like Archer?
How can you not like Star Wars? Moot point. All right, we're done here.
It's not a moot point.
Yeah,
it's not a moot point's work.
I like Archer.
How can you not like another one thing?
Okay, Scott, since you like Archer, tell us about Archer and we'll
okay.
shut Dan up.
Some can try, but it'll never work.
Okay, so Archer is a super spy who works for an organization known as, well, yeah...
That is a terrible... I mean, it was a great name, but I feel
it's
so
like
bad
they
for
picked,
him now.
It's like, of all the names for a terrorist organization to choose, it just had to be the one that you also chose for something unrelated.
It's like they picked ISIS or something.
Ooh. Yeah, well, about that. But anyway, Archer is... like the best spy, but he's also a total douchebag, alcoholic, and yeah,
woman not
boy too.
Severe mommy issues. Oh, and his mother's also his boss, so there's that.
Is also his boss, and his ex-girlfriend is his partner, who sleeps with one of her coworkers, who is one of his not inferiors, but he treats him as such. I rewatch, okay, one, don't ever watch Archer at work. It's not the best work show to watch with a bunch of coworkers.
Yeah, that could be awkward.
Don't you work with mostly females, too?
I rewatch.
That would be a very bad choice.
Yeah,
Earl,
yeah.
Tisk, slap on the wrist.
Well, I see, in my head, I was thinking, like, okay, there's not a ton of sex, there isn't a ton
They'll
of blood and guts. And then I'm like, listening to the dialogue, I'm like,
oh no.
Okay, let's turn this off. I was rewatching it, and I remember one episode, I think it's season one, where like somebody's holding his mom hostage, and he's like, imagine if I killed your mom. And he's holding on a hostage to create a Mexican standoff. She's like, you have
a
boner?
Wasn't that episode one? Yeah.
Is it episode one? Oh my gosh, I watched it and I just died after like 5 minutes about that.
Yeah.
Then he got a hate boner.
Yep. It really is because it takes what I can only assume is the spy genre, because I'm not as learned as Earl is, and just like makes it so over the top and hilarious, humor driven, but somehow magically with an overarching plot, which I never see coming with comedy anymore. So, like I said, I've seen the first 5 seasons. I've not seen any of the new one yet. But I want to, as soon as it's on Netflix, which it might actually be. So then I have no reason.
I don't think it is. I think it might come sooner to the show's release. I think it usually comes out in January. But yeah, I'm going back to what we were talking about earlier. It's kind of a throwback to... It's kind of like the hyper... I don't want to say realistic, but it's kind of the hyper version of what James Bond is. It's a guy who's the best in his field, but almost everything else about him is awful. He doesn't have any respect for women. He's disrespectful to all of his coworkers. He has no care for property, whether it be his own or, anything. But he looks into it because he's so damn good at his job.
Yeah, don't forget the alcoholism.
So, it's a...
And the tinnitus.
The alcoholism, yes. Well, it's not an alcoholism because he doesn't get drunk.
Right.
Oui, baby Seamus. And then his arch nemesis is
which
a cyborg.
Is pretty cool. Only he was named the Jackal.
I know, yes. Seriously.
Only if he was named the Jackal. I mean, there are other stuff we can talk about, but I imagine the further down we go to this, it's going to be the same.
Wait, I want to talk about something that I thought was interesting when I started reading the list. One of the first things, I think actually the first thing on the list, is Alex Rider from the, what's it called, Anthony Horowitz's series? Like a kid James Bond, basically? I think it's interesting that the spy genre is apparently so popular to have a kid genre. Like, you have Spy Kids, even.
Yeah, and you had Agent Cody Banks, and there's the Kids Next Door, and there was Totally Spies.
Oh yeah, Totally Spies.
So yeah, I think it's because in practice, I think that the spy genre owns itself to not necessarily owns itself to kids. You know, you get the gen. But when you watch James Bond, as I do often, you realize how it's mostly family-friendly franchise because he kills a lot of people, but there isn't a ton of blood. There's no real gore. Like, it's a movie that's probably PG, PG-13, and most of it's probably from his bad sexual innuendos.
I was actually going to say the opposite of that, is that it's interesting that that something so... sexual in nature, like you said before, James Bond basically defines the genre, is the genre, and he's so rooted in like this sexual tension sort of thing. Like, it's a big aspect of it, not like the number one thing, but it's interesting that something like that apparently garners a lot of kid fans. I think it's more because of the spy thing is cool rather than the spy person is cool. Which,
well, yeah, I mean one of the things that draws me to the genre is it's this hyper-realism where, like, I can kind of see some of that stuff existing in real life if you had more resources, but it's, like, it's something that's not attainable right now, but it could be. Like, you know, people kind of make fun of the invisible car, but that's a possibility. Or, you know, like, a fancy watch or a belt that does something unique. And I think those gadgets have always kind of been... And that, Archer does it. Mission Impossible is famous for the face mask, which is always a good one. It's just these simple pleasures. I'm never going to have superpowers. I'm never going to be Superman, but I could probably
be. But I could have this
James
thing
Bond.
That like propels me into the air and is like a laser pointer. Also, like, yeah, there's definitely something cool about that in the same sense as superheroes are, but in a more, like you said, attainable way.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my jetpack.
Jetpack.
Who needs the board? I just want the boots. I just want to fly, like, whenever.
Yeah, like the guy...
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Jupiter Ascending.
That's not a spy movie. But, you know, no, you're right. I had never thought about it in that way, because there are a lot of spy stuff specifically catered towards kids. And I think it's, again, you know, it's just kind of, it's the same reason we enjoy Halloween. It's this idea of dressing up and being anybody you want to be and getting all these cool toys.
Yeah, I think you mixed up two holidays there. Halloween and Christmas?
What? No. I was saying Halloween and because, you know, like part of being a spy is dressing up or pretending to meet somebody else. But you also get all these cool gadgets and stuff, and you get to play around with those. And I think, you know, as a kid, you have that imagination. And, like we said, it's something that's possible. Like, you can get, can't my pen be
in, like, the Alex Rider series? I only remember reading one of them, but I remember one of the gadgets is, like, a Game Boy that does something or something like that. And this was, like, when the DS/ Game Boy Advance was out, so it was already kind of dated in its reference, but still.
And it's the same thing with Agent Cody Banks. I'm just sad to admit that I've seen both of those films. But like, I remember one had like a tricked out flute, and I think it was a skateboard. And it's like, yeah, those are common things, but with this one neat hook to it. Okay, so since we started with Bond, we might as well end with Bond. I mentioned before, as of this recording, Spectre isn't out in North America. When this goes up, Spectre will be out. It's out tomorrow night. Are either of you two gentlemen?
Yes, but not tomorrow night.
That is my answer as well. I might be seeing it this weekend. Well, I'm going to try to get my friends to go. So, yeah.
I am going to see it tomorrow night, 7:30, first available screening. Like I said, a huge Bond fan. It's my absolute favorite movie franchise, which I know some people say is really lazy, because it's one of those things where you don't have to work for it. There's been 23 movies. This is going to be the 24th. The longest gap in between movies was 7 years, and that 7 years was when I was like three. So, it's not been a difficult franchise to file and love and stuff like that. But I will say it is a difficult franchise to love, because there are some questionable...
And it has irredeemable qualities as well.
But, yeah.
That's the real discussion James Bond
for another day. Or something off-air, because that is something that has come up. Partially because of Daniel Craig himself, but partially because we have an era where everybody's favorite's problematic these days. But we'll be back, and hopefully sooner than every 2 months. Actually, I know we'll be back soon enough, because we are going to do part two of our Intro to Wrestling podcast.
One of us
series.
Will be back, not
And I don't know if you... Well, one of us. I will get
Star
you
Wars.
To around sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yep. See you guys in a month. The Star Wars time.
Okay, so for Dan, Scott, and myself, this has been the not Star Wars edition of Nerds on the Rocks.
I've been here before, but always hit the floor. I've spent a lifetime running, and I always get away. But with you I'm feeling something that makes me wanna stay. Prepared for this, I never but I feel like a storm is coming. If I'm gonna make it through the day, then there's no more use in running. This is something I gotta face.
Cause the